This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
News story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day here. Welcome back into the show. Tom Brady. You know, a lot of people have had issues with him being a broadcaster and getting inside information on potential opponents for the Las Vegas Raiders. Well, he's kind of pushing back on that. He said he has a weekly newsletter that he put out. It's entitled "Do Your Job." Whatever. But he had to say, "I love football. At its core, it's a game of principles. And with all the success it has given me, I feel I have a moral and ethical duty to the sport, which is why the point where my roles in it intersect is not actually a point of conflict, despite what the paranoid and distrustful might believe. Rather, it's the place from which my ethical duty emerges to grow, evolve, and improve the game that has given me everything." Now, I've been the guy on the other side for Tom Brady about the whole Deflategate and all that stuff, but it's still there, Mike. You know, it was more reasonable than not that he took air out of a football. I mean, do we kind of believe that maybe he took a little, just a little bit?
A lot of quarterbacks, even Drew Brees, came out and was like, this stuff happens when it's cold outside. The air gets deflated. So, I don't know. Scientists came out and said that happens. So, I don't know. I'm deferring to the quarterbacks and the science nerds.
They investigated this, and it came back that it was more reasonable not than not. That was basically what they came up with. So they still suspended him for 4 games. So he did,
and they went 4-0.
Serve his time for allegedly taking air out of a football. So it's just interesting to hear him talk about that because he was with the Patriots for so long, and the Patriots have always kind of had some interesting things in the news. I tend not to have a big problem with it because I just don't think you're getting... I don't really believe that you're getting coaches and players. I can't imagine they're giving the TV guys a lot of insight. I know some former players have said that room is sacred and they really go off into big details on everything about the games and personnel and plays and all that stuff, but I just don't. I can't buy it. I don't buy that it's a big deal.
Yeah, but there's some. You're not gonna tell Tom Brady a lot. Like Tom Brady's gonna get mums the word answers. Well, you know, we're gonna put in 110% and do the best that we can.
You're not answers. Gonna get
other guys are gonna get more details.
Right. You're just not gonna get much. Brian Daboll confirmed Wednesday that Jackson Dart will not only be the team's starting quarterback this weekend, but he will be the starting quarterback for the remainder of the season. So they have went ahead and said that Jackson Dart is going to be the guy. He said he talked with the Giants ownership, but made it clear this was his decision. He said Russell Wilson was a pro about losing his starting position to the rookie Dart, who was selected by the Giants in the first round of the 2025 draft. Yeah, it's time. And it's... Is it time? I mean, again, it's his own decision, and if he can still be a backup quarterback, then all the power to him. But when does Russell Wilson finally just say, you know what? I'm tired of this, Grandpa. I'm going to be done.
When the money's no longer there.
He's still getting money from the Broncos, so. Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald were picked in their first year of eligibility of two of the nominees among the modern era players for the 2026 Pro Football Hall of Fame. The other nominees in their first year of eligibility are quarterback Philip Rivers, Alex Smith, Greg Olsen, Jason Witten, Frank Gore, LeSean McCoy, David Castro, offensive lineman, Marquise Pouncey, defensive lineman, Geno Atkins, and Jarrell Casey, and linebacker Thomas Davis.
Some of those names I might consider, like Frank Gore.
Yeah.
Frank Gore I might consider.
I mean, he's got the numbers because he played for four million years.
Even though I don't like him.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, definitely.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah. Larry Fitzgerald. I'd put him in the Hall of Fame twice.
Philip Rivers.
I don't know.
Here's where I am, because I got the strict Hall of Fame. It's the Hall of Fame. Drew Brees, yes. Larry Fitzgerald, yes. Philip Rivers, no. Alex Smith, no. Greg Olsen, no. Jason Witten, no. That doesn't mean they won't be. This is just, I'm pretty strict on this. Frank Gore, yes. LeSean McCoy, no. David DeCastro, offensive lineman. You tell me. Sure.
Yeah, you're gonna have to get some of those offensive lineman nerds to tell you who's the best.
Marquise Pouncey, good player. Hall of Famer, defensive lineman. Geno Atkins, Jarrell Casey, and linebacker Thomas Davis. Geno Atkins was good. Played for the Bengals for 10 years. Had 75 sacks in his career.
That's it?
It's pretty good. Is your cutoff like 100? You got to have 100 to be a Hall of Famer?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking Von Miller numbers.
Well, I mean, that's kind of where I tend to go with these guys is, were you elite? Were you one of the best when you played? Were you tops? Jarrell Casey, 51 sacks in his career, did play for the three games for the Broncos in 2020. I'm going to say the only obvious ones, Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald, Frank Gore, and probably DeCastro.
The two tight ends I would consider. Don't know if I would put them in, but I would definitely consider them, especially
good
Jason
tight
Witten.
Ends. Good tight ends. Are they? Let me ask you. Greg Olsen, Jason Witten. Are they Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, Travis Kelce types? Are they in that tier?
No.
Then
I wouldn't
say
put
no.
them first. I'd put them in the Hall of Fame.
Well, there's no section of Hall of Fame.
I'd put them in the closet. Like the, hey, you guys also got in, but, you know, you guys are cleaning the floors.
That's my problem with the Hall of Fame. There's no sections. Yeah, you can say first ballot. I think that's stupid. You either are or you aren't. I don't like the whole, he's not getting in this year. He's still waiting to get in. His numbers ain't changing. Nothing about his legacy's changing.
Well, some people get in because of legacy. Like, Joe Namath got it. Look at his wins and losses. He got in because of some of the stuff that he said and some of the stuff he did.
Yeah, but he won.
He won that one Super Bowl. He said that famous line, we're going to win, whatever the line was, said it to a newspaper.
I don't have his numbers in front of me.
Reporter.
I don't have his record or numbers in front of me, but that one seems right.
I think he was about 500. He wasn't great with the Rams.
Well, maybe things have changed, you know, and the way I look at quarterbacks now. Is Drew Brees one of the best to ever do it? Yeah. And again, that number is just going to increase. When we say one of the best, that's going to turn into 20. It's not six or seven anymore. It's going to, as we continue to churn out years in football players, we're going to get into, when you say one of the best, your number does increase. But I would say Drew Brees is a yes, and Larry Fitzgerald is a yes. I always just do like the obvious test. Give me a name, and I tell you whether or not I think, without looking at stats, without looking at Super Bowls, most of the time we know. Are they a Hall of Famer? And that's where I go with this. I think we let too many people in, and it gets crowded in there, and unfortunately there's no tiers to the Hall of Fame.
There are tiers if you don't get in.
Yeah.
And tiers if you do get in, I suppose.
Yeah. Faith texting, I know you're talking about first time eligible, but Reggie Wayne still waiting and needs to be in this year. Reggie Wayne. See, that's a cusp. And my response to that is if you have to do that face that you just made over there, Mike, that kind of, they're not in. If you have to think about it, and I know that they have their process and they should be more diligent than I am, but I go off of the, if you have to think about it, they weren't. Patrick Mahomes, you don't have to think about it. He is going to be a Hall of Famer. John Elway was not a think about it. Joe Montana was not a think about it. So I've always been strict on this, and every time we this conversation comes up, and it's always a fun conversation, but I know there's the Hall of Fame, and then there's mine. And I think it should be a lot more strict.
I think I shouldn't be choosing the Hall of Fame.
Probably
because
not.
I'm just not qualified enough. I think
probably
so for
not.
Offensive linemen. If you know the offensive lineman's name, not because they're infamous, but you just know their name because they're good, that player is in the Hall of Fame. Because there are some offensive linemen you know.
Well, and those are that's again, that's why you have the committee. They go through way more details on, again, it's easy for us to talk about stats. That's easy. Offensive line, I mean, you kind of just got to look at it. Did they have great running backs that produced? Did they keep their quarterback upright? Were they part of a high-powered offense? Those are things you're looking at because, unfortunately, you know, we don't always have a lot of great highlight reels of offensive linemen. So that's where I do leave it to the experts. But when we're talking stat players or skill players, it's easier. It's just easier. It's the way it is. 17 minutes after the hour. The Border War is back on next year. The Wyoming Cowboys licking their wounds after losing to the Colorado Buffaloes. That was a rough game, although Wyoming kind of made it interesting. The Cowboys now set their sights on UNLV, 4-0 on the season, but it's an interesting 4-0. Is this a winnable game for the Cowboys? They're sitting at 2-2 right now, and they would love to jump out of the gates in the conference and upset UNLV. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com, joining me next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear college football, the NFL, and the Broncos, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Joining me now, Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com. Cody, we knew the border war was kind of happening, you know, in the future in 2028 again, but sounds like it's a go as soon as next season, my friend.
Yeah, man, that was nice news to wake up to for sure. Glad to see these two schools are, you know, still chatting and keeping the lines of communication open. And it seems like both schools really want this game to take place. And obviously there's still a hole in 2027 that you can only hope gets filled. But, man, they make these schedules so far out in non-conference season. And, to be honest with you, Brady, it sucks to even call that a non-conference game, if I'm being honest. But they are filled out for so long that it's so hard and you have to maneuver so many things. So, I don't know who CSU got rid of. I can't remember, but I think Indiana.
Yes,
but,
yep.
Okay, so, yeah, you know, North Texas. So kudos to those schools, too, for obviously maneuvering some things themselves.
Do you know many, as far as any details on this? Because obviously Wyoming's dropping a home game against North Texas, so that kind of, I suppose, hurts them a little more than it does CSU. Is there any, I'm guessing there was some give and take in these discussions.
Yeah, I believe in 2036, I believe it is. I'm not looking at it right now, but CSU is going to make two straight trips to Laramie as well.
Okay.
So I think, even though I can't imagine Tom Berman will still be around, you know, that long from now, but I'd imagine that's when Wyoming will kind of get their payback because, you know, I did a story about it earlier this year. I believe, you know, a game day in Laramie is worth $2 million in revenue. So that's a big, big hit. But, you know, I'm all for bending to make sure that this rivalry lasts. Realignment has killed so many great games, you know, personally in my life, my family, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Texas, Texas A&M. Obviously, that one's back on, thank God. But, you know, you miss even teams I can't stand, Colorado, Nebraska, even CSU, CU, really miss that game too. So it's good to see this one being preserved.
Yeah, it was the right move. And again, we kept hearing that it was probably going to happen. And again, we know it was going to happen 2028. What are you hearing as far as 2027? Is that still kind of quiet at this point?
Yeah, you know, it kind of scares me that they only announced one right here because you would hope that they would announce two. But, you know, one's better than none. If they can't get it done in 2027, that would be a crying shame. But if they can't, they can't. But, you know, we talked to Sundance Wicks earlier this week, too. Sounds like, you know, Ollie's all for it as well. At least one. I asked Sonny a follow-up and said, are we going to do a twofer? You know, one game in Fort Collins, one game in Laramie. And he kind of gave me the double wink again. So he wasn't really answering that question, but he gave me a couple winks. So I would love to see that be a home-and-home in basketball. It'd be great for travel. It'd be great for the fans. And, you know, it's so hard. It's really hard for Wyoming to get great non-conference games in Laramie. And it's not that easy for Colorado State to do that either.
How much fun is it covering a guy like Sundance Wicks, Cody? Because even that response he's given you with the winks and all that, just high energy. Dude doesn't seem like he has many bad days. I mean, that's got to be kind of refreshing.
Yeah, he's the best of the best. And to be honest with you right now, even Jay Sovell, you can throw him into the mix too. And really, two really good coaches to cover that are really open and honest and fun. And they understand the importance of the media. And, you know, you can't ask for much better. And, you know, I respect the hell out of Craig Bull. And we had some good times too. But he was a little tougher, and Jeff Linder. You can say the same for Jeff.
Sure.
As much as I liked him. He was a tough cookie too. But Sonny's fantastic, man. It's so hard keeping up with all of his sayings and all the things that he brings out of left field. And, you know, you sit down to write a story and you listen and he starts answering your question. And then about 20 minutes go by where he's rambling about catching fish and, you know, God knows what. And then it circles back eventually. So it's not always easy to follow along.
Well, and he landed a pretty big recruit that we know fairly well here, yeah. Madden Smiley. And I know just by doing a podcast and my relationship with Steve Smiley, I know how close he and Sundance are. Like, they're best friends. They're practically brothers, man. So this, I know Steve is thrilled about this this opportunity for Madden.
Yeah, what a good deal, man. I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't know a ton about Madden until I wrote the story yesterday. I mean, 5A player of the year in Colorado, dropping 20 plus a night in the playoffs. You know, he's a player for sure, and you know it's in his DNA. So, also, you know, the tie, obviously, Steve Smiley was up in Sheridan.
Sure.
You know, the Wyoming tie, and really cool that he's doing that. And also cool that Steve Smiley, you know, Jeff Linder would tell us all the time, he would talk about how hard it was to get non-conference games here, and we would say, well, aren't you friends with Steve Smiley? That sounds like a slam dunk. And he made it clear that friends don't like playing friends, and they don't like scheduling each other and things like that. So Northern Colorado will play an exhibition game against Wyoming and Gillette here in the middle of October as well, which is Sundance's hometown, and chance for Smiley to get back there. So it's cool to see those guys doing this kind of stuff. And going to be great to see Madden in brown and gold, and he might be a serious under the radar kind of cat. I mean, he puts up some great numbers.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I know the other option was Colgate, and I know Steve's pumped because he'll be close. I don't know how many games he'll get to actually go up and watch and such, but I know the family's thrilled about that.
Well, why wasn't UNC on his list?
I think he's too good, right? Yeah, I mean, I think Coach Smiley will even say, like, you know, without saying it, I think, you know, he even said, he's like, yeah, I definitely don't, if he's not going to go to UNC, I definitely don't, you know, we wouldn't ideally like him to be in the Big Sky at all. I think, and it's not a knock on UNC because UNC can beat CSU, they could beat CU, they could do those things. But on, you know, certainly resources, all that on a yearly basis, it's difficult.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, the Mountain West and even the version that's going to be left over of the Mountain West is going to be a pretty good basketball. So,
sure.
Chance to come up and do his thing close to home, like you said. And then, of course, you know, I'm sure Madden's known Sonny since the day he was born. So I'm sure it'll be all second nature.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com. On to the football side of things, the Cowboys jumping into battle, Mountain West battle against UNLV, and we'll get to that in a moment. UNLV's undefeated, but interesting games for them. This Buffalo's game for the Cowboys. Now, I thought the Cowboys were going to do something crazy. I thought they were going to win. I thought defensively they were going to slow down Colorado and Cadence, but Caden Salter kind of looked like the guys the Buffs advertised in the offseason, running around like crazy, making the right decisions. That was kind of a coming out party for Caden Salter in this game. However, Wyoming, they kind of made it interesting in that third quarter, and then the fourth quarter kind of ran out of gas, kind of sputtered.
Yeah, you know, that Buffs team was playing like a team with its back against the wall, which is what you would expect when they come in 1-2 and they just got embarrassed at Houston the way they did. And, yeah, that was absolutely the Caden Salter that we expected to see probably from the go, honestly, and I'm sure Deion feels the same way. You know, he was good, man. He was really good, and Wyoming secondary just was not up to the task on this night, and they really exposed him. I was really impressed with Salter. I thought he was really patient. He maneuvered in the pocket. He made chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what a few times, and it was really impressive. So, you know, the Cowboys tried. They tried to come back there. They had the 13-play, 80-yard drive in the fourth quarter to cut it to 10. And, you know, of course, that's been all the rage up here in Wyoming the last couple of days was what in the hell took so long. They took nearly 7 minutes off the play clock.
Yeah.
And they were trying to come back, and they were huddling, and they even got a delay of game penalty. And just the optics weren't great. And then to make matters worse for Jay Sawbill and company, the ESPN announcers were, you know, after every snap going, what are they doing? Why aren't they moving? Are they just, you know, conceding this game? And, you know, it was not good. So Cowboys fought hard, a real nice bounce back second half for Caden Anderson. And just, you're running into a team that had they couldn't lose. They couldn't lose that game. CU loses that game. Who knows? You know where this season spirals, because that was a special atmosphere in Boulder. I must say, Folsom Field's awesome, and it was packed and it was rocking. And who knows, man? They just, in my opinion, CU just flat ass could not lose that game.
What was your opinion, kind of the end of this game, that around that seven minutes going off? Yeah, and I heard the announcers talking about it, like, are they just trying to concede here? Is this thing over? What was your takeaway from that?
Well, to be honest, I usually write a column right after the game, but I wanted to hear from Jay again on Monday before I wrote my thoughts on it, because I thought, you know, maybe he needs to see this himself as well and have a better answer than he had on Saturday night. And, you know, I'm still kind of baffled why it didn't move quicker, and that's what my column was about. Yeah, you know, you scored. It looked good. It looked right. That's exactly what you should have done in, like, the second quarter, maybe the first quarter, but not when you're trailing by 17. I think they just wanted something positive to happen, and they were in a rhythm, and they just wanted, you know, they had young guys going in and out, and they were huddling. Jay also said, hey, Colorado was subbing too, so it's not like we were just, you know, could go up to the line and fire away. And he also mentioned, you know, the left tackle, Nate Geiger, suffered an injury in this one, and it doesn't sound good for him. You know, so they're breaking in a left tackle who hasn't played a whole hell of a lot this year. So he didn't really like the idea of going 2 minute, but I don't know. I'm still kind of baffled what took so long. You know, you need to cut that down, because you need to cut that in half, that drive in half at least. Because Jay was talking, yeah, then you kick it off to them, you get a three and out, which is something Wyoming only did one time on 10 Colorado possessions. Then you got to hope to score quick. Then you have to get an onside kick, which they know it's coming, which is almost impossible. Then you have to score again. So it just, you know, the excuse, I didn't buy it. I didn't love it. They needed to move faster.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com. Good time, bad time for the Cowboys to have a bye before they'll start conference play against currently an undefeated UNLV team.
Great time. Great time. They need to get this offense figured out. It's hard, right, to have a measuring stick when you play two Big 12 teams back-to-back, including a Utah team that's you know, their defense is lights out. Didn't play as well last weekend in, against Texas Tech, of course, but their offense did them no favors. And then, like I said, you're playing a Colorado team with their back up against the wall. And, you know, let's not get it twisted. Colorado's got a ton of athletes and a ton of four-star, five-star guys.
Sure.
It's not like they were just, you know, some other team. So, you know, it's kind of hard to be a measuring stick against those two. You kind of liked where the Cowboys' offense was headed against Northern Iowa. They need to come to Jesus meeting here with this off week ahead. And Cade Anderson and the whole group needs to get off to faster starts. He's getting very little help on the outside. Anybody not named Chris Durr Jr. is just not doing anything in the receiving game. And they need to find out who's going to step up here. And John Michael Gillenborg, of course, hurt in the first half against Utah, didn't play at all against Colorado. He needs to get back too, and he needs to get going. He's way too good, and I know these injuries are unfortunate and nagging and all that stuff, but he needs to get back out there. He needs to make some plays with this team. They are really relying on him. So they're already down Jake Wilson at the tight end spot as well. They were playing a true freshman on that last drive. They just they really need to figure out what they are going to do here. They have a star in Sam Harris in the backfield, and you can really build around that. You would think that would open up all kinds of options for these guys downfield.
Well, the bye week, as you said, great time, but especially for a guy like John Michael Gillenborg, another week of hopefully resting and getting set to take on UNLV. And UNLV's interesting, Cody. They they got their bye too, but they're 4-0. But they beat Idaho State in a scary game. They beat Sam Houston. They beat UCLA. And then at Miami, Ohio, is it kind of, I mean, again, 4-0, nothing to apologize for there. But Idaho State in the Big Sky, I know that one specifically, they were kind of finished to pick somewhat bottom of the barrel in that conference. So is UNLV as good as that 4-0 record would suggest?
Well, I think you can compare it a lot to Wyoming's record in 2021 when they jumped out to a 4-0 start for the first time since 96. And Craig Bohl would, you know, always yell at me and say, you always got to throw a bucket of cold water on things, you know, we're 4-0. It was hollow. It was absolutely hollow. Then they ended up losing to Fresno State at home, New Mexico at home, losing on the road at Air Force, losing to San Jose State. Next thing you know, you're 4-4, and it was absolutely hollow. And I don't know if UNLV's is as hollow as Wyoming's was. They had to pull one out of the fire to beat UConn, to beat Montana State, teams like that year. So I think UNLV's good, but their defense has not impressed me one bit. I was stunned. I had to leave to Boulder, obviously, but I was stunned to hear they even beat Western Kentucky. The offense has been – or not Western – sorry, Miami. Their offense has been fantastic. The defense has been horrendous. And that's starting with Idaho State. Idaho State moved the ball all they wanted. They really got it going in the throw game. And, you got to hope that that's what's going to happen with Wyoming. They need to get it going. Chris Durr Jr. cannot pull all this weight. So they need to figure it out for sure. And Eric Richardson had a 41-yard touchdown catch against CU that looked right. But that was only the second catch of the year. These guys need to be making 3, 4, or 5 catches a game.
Do you see this offense kind of turning a corner as we get into conference play?
Boy, you would think. I mean, like I said, it's kind of a hard measuring stick when you're playing against Utah and Colorado.
Right.
The way they looked in the second half, Coach Prime said it after the game, too, man. Give it up to Wyoming. That team absolutely did not give up, and we had too much heeing and hawing on our sideline acting like the game was over, and they came out and kind of punched us in the mouth. And I mean, Sam Harris is really, really good, Brady. He's a back-to-back Mountain West Freshman of the Week. Running back, runs a 10-200-yard dash in high school. If not for a torn ACL, that guy's probably already playing at a Power 5 program. So you need to really parlay that into something, and you would think that's going to open up all kinds of things downfield.
Yeah, it seems like they do have some pretty significant weapons there if they can just put that all together and make a recipe for moving. Is that on Caden Anderson, or is that just kind of more of it all just not meshing together at this point?
A little bit of everything, but honestly, nobody ever wants to give credit to it, especially fans. But, you know, like I said, I can't say it enough. These last two teams they played are really good and really talented. And Caden has not looked – nothing has looked really comfortable yet. He started to, though. And maybe that's why they stayed in the huddle during that 7-minute drive. He was uncomfortable. He was in command. He was making checks at the line. What was great, it was all off the record, so I can't get really detailed into it, but Jay Sauvel popped on game film after our meeting with him on Monday, and we watched 30, 45 minutes worth of game film, and it was fantastic. And he said, that's why that play should have worked. That's why that play didn't work. you know, here's where, you know, this guy should have been open. This guy, you know, stuff like that. It's just nothing. It's just not in rhythm yet. And you hope to think it started to look that way in the second half in Boulder. You hope that can carry over, and a week of rest is really going to help.
Yeah, we'll see what the Cowboys can do coming up next weekend against UNLV. Cody, my man, always appreciate it. Great work by you as always, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, Brady. Appreciate you always, man. Have a good week.
You too, man. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Yeah, the Cowboys are off this weekend, and they will play UNLV when they return. They will start Mountain West Conference play. 40. There we go, Mike. 40 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I keep my hands on myself. Dust them off, put them back up on the shelf. Just my little baby girl is in me. Am I coming out of left field? Ooh, I'm a rebel, just for kicks.
45 minutes after 12 o'clock. Michael, I'm going to text you this because I don't think you have the answer. Are you ready? We got our Diamond Valley Collectibles trivia question of the day. And this is a tricky one. All right, you're trying to register for a $20 gift certificate here. For Diamond Valley Collectibles, get yourself a pack of cards, maybe a couple, or that signed little mini football helmet. I don't know what you could get for $20. You could go a long way. Get some Legos, too, Mike. Funko Pops. Those things are pretty pricey. My child's obsessed with them, so I know.
Now that I have the answer, can I be registered?
Well, you don't have the answer yet. I'm texting it to you right now. And this is, again, this is a weird one. Because some acknowledge a different record. So I will take either the big number I gave you, Mike. I will take one more than that, if that is what the guess is. Or that number. So if they say it's this number and this number and this. I'm asking what the record is between CSU and Wyoming in the Border War is. And a reason that is controversial is because there was a forfeit in there that one team doesn't acknowledge and the other team does.
So who's first? Are you saying CSU versus?
Yeah, what's the record?
So CSU is the first number, and Wyoming's the second number.
Well, that's giving away that who's winning the series, I guess. But yeah, that would be correct. The easy answer on that one is CSU does lead the series, but and it's close. So I want to know what the record is. Call the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. 970-353-1310. Nobody's going to get this. Because you can't Google fast enough. I know, your little fingers are Googling right now, and you're trying to figure it out. You're not going to be fast enough. But go for it. 970-353-1310. I will take that number or one above that number.
Can we give a hint?
What hint would you like to give?
Okay. The win is above below 100 and above 1.
Okay.
And the loss is below 100 and above 1.
Very good.
And the ties are above 20 and, sorry, above 1.
Oh, my gosh. You are making this so confusing. I zoned out.
I zoned out myself. That's why I got the tie wrong.
I was like, what are you doing? What is the record between CSU and Wyoming in the Border War Series?
Who, Wyoming?
970-353-1310. Get it right. Be the first one to get it right, and you're in the mix for the $20 gift certificate that we'll give away on Friday, and which will also make you eligible for the grand prize, the $100 gift certificate, and the signed jersey that we're giving away, courtesy of Diamond Valley Collectibles. Trying to erase the confusion that Michael caused, I just want to know what the overall series record is between CSU and Wyoming.
It's 5-3.
No. 48 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Good luck with that one. I'll be right back.
Don't sweat it, NoCo. With cooler temperatures upon us, that only means more red-hot takes on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. What did they go with, Mike? Because there's two options. There's 59, 51, and 5, and then the 60. CSU acknowledges 60. Wyoming is saying 59. Who was the what was the answer? What'd they give you?
I forgot.
60.
Oh, you forget about me. Sorry.
Okay. No, stop it.
No, he
That's more
60.
Than your three.
John went with 60.
You've used way more than three today. You made a terrible web joke about John Weber. That one. And I don't remember the other one you used. I'm trying to wipe it from my brain. That is one demerit. One
demerit
strike.
Thomas.
Yeah. That's two now. Mm-hmm. I lost count of how many demerits you have at this stage. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we got buy or sell. And then Sean Keeler will join me from the Denver Post. His story. Talking. We're going to go specifically into Colorado State today. Headline. CSU Rams coach Jay Norvell is becoming his own worst enemy. We should come in with that song, Mike. Can you do that? Worst enemy? My own worst enemy? You've heard of that song?
Maybe.
You can do it.
I'm not sure which song you're talking about.
You've never heard that song? Once you play it, you'll... Do I really have to educate you, like, all the time? I have to take you by the hand and lead you through this life. Do I have to do that all the time?
Yes.
Man, you were having a hard time getting upstairs today. I was hiding in the landing of the stairs, waiting to see when you would notice.
You're spying on me.
I just was, yeah. And you, the noises coming out of your face as you walked up the stairs, I was worried. And you didn't notice me until you got to the very top. And you didn't miss a beat.
I asked you a sports question.
You looked right over at me and said, "Who are you taking for the Thursday night special?" Like, you didn't get startled at all. Impressive. Impressive. Speaking of impressive, we'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.